And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Whew. I mean, it goes like from Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the border to what we call, once again, Fort Benning. Benning! And then big old patches in North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. And oh, by the way, that's just the radio audience. Then there's all y'all in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web watching us live stream every single day on places like YouTube, our website, rightsidemedia.org, X, Facebook, all of it. Thank you very much. And then you podcasters too. So this audience, everywhere you are, we appreciate you, we love you, and we thank you very much. You're the reason why we do what we do. All right, that being said, hey, it's Friday. It is Friday afternoon. That means at this particular moment, halfway through hour number two, we stop what we're doing. We set aside politics and policy and all of it. We spend a little time with JP, who is the guru on all things sports. So JP on sports has the best sound effect out of the entire week. But it also runs in two segments. The first segment is called The Three and Out. Three top stories he believes are the biggest stories in the sports world right now. And then we come back for round two. It's called the two-minute warning. I've got a timer and a buzzer. 2 minutes on anything sports. JP, your sound effect, if you will, sir.
JP on sports!
Courtesy of sorority girls at Auburn. JP on sports, three and out. Number one, what do you got, bud?
We got a game seven in the NBA, thank goodness. I love game sevens in any sports. But the Pacers were able to get a big win against the Thunder last night. Now we got game seven going back to OKC. We'll see. You know, the Thunder started to pick up some momentum in this series with the Pacers with that statement win last night. Who knows if they can steal a game seven in OKC. But yeah, like I said, I just love seeing game sevens in any sports, but particularly NBA finals. I mean, the season's on the line for both teams. You know, it's the last game of the year. It's always the best. So I'm quite excited to watch this game seven between the Pacers and the OKC.
That tonight, you said?
No, that is tomorrow night. Saturday night, we got game seven there. We'll see if Halliburton and the Pacers can keep going after that win last night. But I expect the Thunder to kind of take that one pretty handily with how they've been playing lately. But the Pacers at home court advantage said otherwise. But I don't know. OKC's got really good home court advantage too, so it could, you know, bounce back as well. But we'll see. I'm very excited about it, though.
All right. Outstanding. That's number one. What's two?
So this is a very interesting story, in my opinion, because I think it shows a culture shift, because – as you know, June is Pride Month.
Oh, Lord.
You know, but it's also the time we see sports teams, you know, declaring, you know, Pride games or Pride, week or whatever, Pride events. And, you know, the kind of the teams you expect, the LA Dodgers, New York Mets, you know, teams in liberal cities. However, we've seen a decline in teams partaking in Pride, you know, games or whatever.
We have, yeah.
But the Dodgers had a Pride night. And
oh, yeah.
Both teams. I believe it was both teams. I know for sure the Dodgers wore rainbow logo hats for the Dodgers. And Clayton Kershaw, Hall of Fame pitcher, who in the past has actually spoken out against not wanting to participate in Pride stuff, having to wear rainbow gear because he is a Christian, an open Christian. So he had to wear the Pride hat, but he wrote in Sharpie on his hat, Genesis 9:12-16.
Oh.
Which is the verse talking about, you know, God declaring the rainbow as a sign of, you know, God's promise. And completely got hammered by people on the left on Twitter, obviously. But a lot of people stuck up for him. And I think that was, go back to 2020. You know, if Clayton Kershaw did this in 2020, he would have been canceled into oblivion. But now that I see people actually sticking up for him and speaking out for him, and he's not being canceled, I think that shows a sign of winning. But also props to Clayton Kershaw for doing that. I mean, that takes some real guts to do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's sticking up. If he has to wear the Pride hat, then, you know, he's going to still show his beliefs while also, you know, having to do that. But like I said, I think it's a sign of a culture shift almost. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, the numbers of teams partaking in Pride events just keeps going down and eventually it's just,
did
you
he get
gone.
Any backlash from his own, from the team owners or from team management?
The team itself, I don't know, did not say anything, but there is one particular tweet, I think, that went viral of somebody, you know, trying to tell Clayton to be a tolerant Christian, you know, and obviously we have a whole theological debate tolerance.
What does that mean? Tolerant.
Tolerance is not a Christian.
That means
value.
Condone.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know. I thought that was good. Oh, another piece of this. So the Mets, who are also participating in Pride Night of their own, during the national anthem, while the singer was singing the national anthem, you know, they typically put up the video of the flag flying at the stadium, the American flag.
I saw this.
But after that, they also showed the Pride flag during the national anthem. But I would say I don't think it's a coincidence that after they did that, they are 0-6. So I'll just say that.
So you're saying judgment is being served.
Yeah,
is that what you're
saying? I would say judgment has been served, yes.
Flew the Pride flag, lost the games.
0-6 and got swept by the Braves last night. So hopefully, like I said, moving forward, it'll stop more and more. But props to Clayton Kershaw for doing that. He's earned my respect big time for that.
That's a cool story. Yeah, I did see that on social media, but I'd forgotten about it. So, okay. All right, three and out. That's two. What's three?
The Caitlin Clark storyline in the WNBA keeps getting. I find this story fascinating to me because we're seeing one of the biggest sports stars in general across all sports, not just the WNBA, of Caitlin Clark, just being completely, you know, decked every game. They're not welcoming her with open arms. What was the stat when she was hurt for about 3 weeks that the viewership dropped over 50%?
Wow.
Which is an absurd number. I mean, that just shows
how
much.
So they went from 26 people watching to 13.
Yeah, I guess you could say that, yeah. But I think that just shows how important she is to the WNBA. But she's been back and, you know, it went viral because she got decked in the face, poked in the eye, and got decked to the ground after that.
That's one interaction right there.
Oh, yeah.
All that happened at one time.
Exactly. And everybody's been saying, you know, where's her teammates? Where's her teammates? And then Sophie Cunningham, actually, one of her teammates, won a couple plays later with that same girl who hit Clayton Clark in the face, went up for a layup, and she took a hard foul. But then when she got up, grabbed her by the neck and was saying something to her. So it's nice to see Caitlin Clark's teammates actually sticking up for her. But like I said, I think this is it needs to be talked about more and more of. The WNBA has not ever in its existence produced a profit in its you know, single years. And if Caitlin Clark is here to help you with that, then it's just I feel like a tide that raises all boats, they would be more welcoming of her. But I do think there's a racism aspect to this. You know, we talked about Brittany Griner on, she denied it, obviously, of her, you know, saying that trash white girl after you're talking about Caitlin Clark. So I think there's that aspect to it. But it's just, it's amazing to me that the WNBA the players continue to go after Caitlin Clark like this. It is a good sign that her teammates are sticking up for her, but when have we ever seen anything like this? A great parallel I saw somebody talking about this is like Tiger Woods in golf, right?
Okay.
A majority white sport of golf, and Tiger Woods, you know, who came in, there were some, you know, aspects of it that of people, you know, not being willing to accept him, unfortunately, but he showed that he could be the greatest golfer ever and has proved to be the greatest golfer ever. And they welcomed him with open arms. You know, they weren't, you know, saying, you know, you don't belong in this sport or whatever. Like, they welcomed him in with open arms. Caitlin Clark is not getting that treatment. I feel she's getting the exact opposite treatment. And I do think it's fair to say a lot of it is, you know, because of her skin color, you know, predominantly black, you know, sport. It's just unfortunate, and I hope it starts to change. But if the WNBA wants to continue to bring in the viewership that they are, they could be smart to welcome in Caitlin Clark.
What was the teammate? Was it Sophie Cunningham?
Sophie Cunningham was
the
teammate.
Yeah, and she looks like an Amazon, but Sophie Cunningham, that was a show enough foul. That was I saw it. She grabbed her by the back of the head and threw it to the ground.
Yeah, it was a hard foul for sure.
And I'm wondering, though, is it just going to be – I mean, people are calling about how Sophie is now Caitlin Clark's guardian angel and that kind of – you know, and got her back and all that. And I'm hoping that's true. Where's the rest of the team? Because if the rest of the team will go to bat for Caitlin Clark like that and be willing to commit the foul if they're getting their star player fouled, then I think the other teams will begin to back off.
I would hope so, yeah. And you know, hopefully the refs can actually –
Well, that's the next thing.
The refs are letting the game get out of hand that where her teammates are having to actually stick up for her, and the refs are, like, just, you know, sitting back letting it happen. I don't know. I think over time when they realize Caitlin Clark's here to stay, that it'll stop. But I just, like I said, and former veterans like Sue Bird, I believe, was one of them, or I can't remember, Diana Trowski, I think her name is, said something about how, you know, the black WNBA players are not getting the proper recognition that they deserve, and pretty much saying that they're upset that Caitlin Clark, the white player, is the one that's breaking the WNBA through. And that's just, I don't know, it just reeks of total racism, in my opinion. Of, you know, I think that's the deep resentment here, which is why I think it's an important story. It's Caitlin Clark is exposing that there. But anyways, I think it's over time. Hopefully, like you said, if her teammates start to stick up more and more, it'll go down.
So it just occurred to me, are your stories, when we say three and out, is the first one the most important or the third one the most important?
It builds up.
You know? It builds up. So we built up to the biggest story. Okay, good enough. All right, that's actually round one. Perfect. No overtime at all. All right, so we're going straight to the break. We'll come right back. Round two, JP on sports. This is the one where we call the two-minute warning, where I've got a buzzer and a timer. And we got 2 minutes on everything he can talk about sports. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. All right, we're back for round number two of JP on Sports. This part, we call it the two-minute warning. I've got a timer. I'm getting my timer ready as I speak, JP, because you can't get away with me not having my timer. JP, where's my timer? Hang on a second. My timer's gone. There's a clock on my phone somewhere. I'm going to find it. I don't know where it is. But anyway, 2 minutes. I'm going to go ahead and say I'm watching the clock start.
So I think this is a hilarious story. We're in the age of NIL and sports and college sports, and it's a new day and age. But apparently, so the new college football video game, which was able to finally come back after 10 years of being away because of the players not being able to be paid and having their image and likeness on games. Anyways, last year it finally came back. I think it is the biggest game that's ever come out, you know, maybe behind GTA or whatever. But so the next one is about to come out this summer. And apparently schools can get money based on how much their team is played in the video game.
What?
So theoretically, you could directly contribute to how much school your school getting money by playing them.
This is crazy.
A certain amount. Okay. So I take that as, all right, I understand the assignment. I guess I'm going to have to play like 2 or 3 hours of Alabama football every day so that they can get money to get recruits and such.
If I come in the office and you're sitting there playing.
But there's some people have joked on Twitter about, okay, so you're telling me if every single one of us played as Kennesaw State, we could directly turn them into a powerhouse and get them all the money they need to properly get recruits. That's hilarious to me that, you know, and we're in the direct revenue, era as well, college sports officially now. So you playing your favorite team in the college football video game, you can directly contribute to how much money that team can have for recruits.
So there it is. You got D3 teams suddenly recruiting for D1 players.
Yes, exactly. I mean, like I said, if you're a Kennesaw State fan, now is your chance. Turn your school into a powerhouse in real life by turning them into a powerhouse in your game.
My alma mater, University of South Alabama, is about to get played a lot.
Hey, like I said, you can become a South Alabama gamer and turn them into a powerhouse.
And there you go. There's the timer. Start the clock. A reset. Go.
So this story, I think I mentioned it to you off air. It's kind of like disappeared. It's been kind of weird of the Bruce Pearl Senate potential there. It feels like people have stopped talking about it in general. And there's been a lot of talk about, you know, he's given money to Democrats in this past election. That may be an issue. However, I saw a story today. I don't think he said this on accident. He apparently said that he believes his son is ready to become the head coach.
I saw that.
He didn't specifically say, you know, become the head coach at Auburn. But stuff like that you say, I don't think is ever an accident, especially if you're a head coach like Bruce Pearl, who's been there and done that. He knows anything he says is going to be taken a certain way. So part of me is like, okay, maybe he said that. Maybe he is positioning himself to, you know, throw his hat in the race. I mean, maybe he's worked out behind the scenes his issue of giving money to Democrats. But I don't know. What do you think? You think he said that on purpose, or you think that was just a flippant, you know, thing?
Nothing's an accident.
That's what I'm saying.
Nothing's an accident, but I'll say this. Everybody's watching to see what he's saying and trying to make something out of what he's saying. So he might not have said it with any intent, but everybody wants it to be a story.
Well, and he's also, he put up a couple of tweets recently that seemed to really pro-Trump Senate-like. I mean, he's always been pro-Israel in his discourse on social media, which I thought has always been very, very brave of him, but he's had a very pro-Trump. I feel like he's posted everything of Trump's doing it great, Trump's doing it great, and I'm like, I don't know, something smells like he's going to run here. So I don't know, I could be wrong. I thought that was very interesting. The story seemed to kind of die out, but I don't know, it's kind of rearing its head
again.
Maybe
he'll be the ambassador to Iran.
Oh, gosh, no, they're definitely not Iran. but I don't know. We could see Steve Pearl taking over for Bruce Pearl.
There it is. All right, let me reset the clock. Next 2 minutes, the two-minute warning, go.
We got the College World Series for baseball still going on, and I'm happy to say that my prediction has come to fruition of the winner of the LSU-Arkansas series will be playing Coastal Carolina in the championship, and that's exactly what we have. We have
Coastal
LSU.
Coastal Carolina. The Chanticleers.
The Chanticleers. LSU is playing Coastal Carolina in the championship series this weekend. It wasn't the exact series, I believe. Arkansas beat LSU to start the tournament, and then they got a rematch in the semifinals where LSU, I believe, scored 3 in the ninth to come back and win. It was a crazy, crazy thriller game. But we got LSU going against Coastal Carolina right now. However, my gut says it's going to be Coastal Carolina. I think Coastal Carolina is the best team remaining right now. If Arkansas were able to pull off the win against LSU, I would have said Arkansas with, you know, their strong pitching staff. And granted, LSU, that's not saying anything about LSU. They beat Arkansas, so clearly they're good. But I don't know. I wonder if Arkansas would have been a better matchup against Coastal Carolina. We could be having Coastal Carolina getting their second College World Series win in, what, 10 years? I think they won in 2016. So who knows? The Chanticleers may be the
Chanticleers.
The college baseball champions there.
Nobody with a name like Chanticleer should ever beat Auburn at anything. I'm still mad.
I think the name is awesome, the Chanticleers. It's taking a unique spin on the Fighting Gamecocks there.
If you're going to be a Fighting, just be a Fighting Gamecock.
Yeah, but that's no fun. The Chanticleers, you got to be unique with it. But anyways, yeah, we got that series this weekend. I'm very excited to watch that. LSU has they kind of went downhill the last couple of years in terms of, you know, they were kind of a baseball powerhouse, it seems, hadn't made a championship appearance in quite a while, but now they're here, they're back, and we'll see if LSU comes back to being the powerhouse or if the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers get their second ring in 10 years.
Chanticleers. And there's a timer. All right, reset. Do you have time? We have time?
We have a little bit of time.
Take it, man. Take it.
Well, I mean, I guess we got to talk about the Braves apparently are back, huh? No, they're not. They're definitely not. I'm not setting myself up for disappointment there.
By the way, George is here. He's a Yankees fan.
Oh, that. Really? Oh, jeez, yeah. but, yeah, they got the sweep against the Mets last night. The Mets are the top team in the division, so it's a big series sweep for the Braves. However, unless the Braves are playing teams that, you know, show the pride flag during the national anthem, I guess they're out of luck.
Is that their first series sweep of the season?
No, it's not. It's their biggest for sure. I mean, this is the series you need to get some momentum because, you know, Ronald Acuña Jr. came back, former MVP, and everybody thought that would be the thing that turns them around. But yet, it's like the pitching staff for the Braves is just can't. They can't get it going. The bullpen is just continuing to fail week after week. And that was one of the biggest issues of the offseason that fans were complaining about, was that the Braves weren't properly addressing the bullpen. And it seems like it's coming to bite them in the butt. But who knows? Like I said, this is a big series win for them, series sweep. Maybe they can get on a roll here. And it's summer, and we're coming into July soon. This is the time to start to get on a roll if you're going to
do
it.
What we need is a video game. Where the people play the Braves, they get money to recruit players.
Hey, don't tempt me. I will do whatever it takes, okay? If I have to slave away on a video game, which I do anyway, so that I'll do it. I'll do it if that's what it takes.
And there's the music. And that was 30 seconds under the wire, the two-minute warning. Okay, listen, that's JP on Sports. We do it every Friday halfway through hour number two. Coming up next, we're going to talk about taking back the rainbow. That's what I'm saying. Let's take our rainbow back, shall we? Phil Williams. Right Side Radio, we will be right back.